happier. Learn the secret to daily joy and lasting fulfillment. Tal Ben-Shahar. Happiness. Happiness is the meaning and the purpose of life, the whole aim and end of human existence. The research illustrates that the relationship between happiness and success is reciprocal. Not only can success contribute to happiness, but happiness also leads to more success. Happiness is defined as the overall experience of pleasure and meaning. A happy person enjoys positive emotions while perceiving his life as purposeful. The definition does not pertain to a single moment, but to a generalized aggregate of one's experiences. A person can endure emotional pain at times and still be happy overall. To be happy, we need the experience of positive emotion. Pleasure is a prerequisite for a fulfilling life. The total absence of pleasure and the experience of constant emotional pain prevent the possibility of a happy life. Happiness as the ultimate currency. A human being, like a business, makes profits and suffers losses. For a human being, however, the ultimate currency is not money, nor is it any external measure, such as fame, fortune, or power. The ultimate currency for a human being is happiness. Money and fame are subordinate to happiness and have no intrinsic value. In themselves, wealth and fame are worthless. There would be no reason to seek fame and fortune if they did not contribute, in some way, toward happiness. Emotional bankruptcy. Just as a business can go bankrupt, so can a human being. To remain solvent, a business needs to make profits. That is, its net income has to exceed its expenses. When our positive experiences outweigh our negative ones, we have made a profit in the ultimate currency. Long-term depression may be seen as a sort of emotional bankruptcy. The duration and intensity of negative experiences, losses, overwhelm the positive one, income. While we're making huge strides forward in science and technology, we're rapidly falling farther and farther behind emotionally. Setting goals. People who set goals are more likely to succeed than people who don't. Having explicit objectives that are challenging and specific leads to better performance. Setting a goal is about making a commitment in words, and words have the power to create a better future. The goals can be as simple as buying a computer or as complex as climbing Mount Everest. Beliefs, psychologists tell us, are self-fulfilling prophecies, and when we commit, when we throw our knapsacks over the brick wall, we demonstrate faith in ourselves, in our ability to achieve an envisioned future. We create our reality rather than react to it. Goals and well-being. Conventional wisdom tells us that happiness is about the fulfillment of our goals. Decades of research, though, challenge our commonly held beliefs. While attaining a sought-after goal can provide much satisfaction, and the failure to attain a certain goal can lead to despair, these feelings tend to be short-lived. How happy you are depends to a large degree on the ratio between want to and have to in your life. The ratio largely determines whether you look forward to getting up in the morning, or you're exhausted by the thought of what lies ahead. Whether you feel a sense of accomplishment and satisfaction, or more relief, and release when the day or the week is over. Happiness in education. Because many students experience either boredom or anxiety in school, they neither enjoy it nor perform at their best. For students, to derive more present and future benefit from school, whenever possible, teachers should structure lessons and activities to meet the skill level of each individual student. The consequences of too little struggle are no less detrimental than too much struggle, and they go beyond flow deprivation. Educators, especially parents, confuse struggle with pain. Wanting to protect their children from pain, they cater to their children's every wish and rescue them from every challenge. In trying to provide a privileged life for their children, these parents deny them the opportunity to struggle, thereby keeping them from experiencing flow, as well as the satisfaction of overcoming challenges. First meditation, self-interest, and benevolence. Contributing to other people's happiness provides us with meaning and pleasure, which is why helping others is one of the essential components of a happy life. Of course, it's important to keep in mind the distinction between helping others and living for others' happiness. If we do not make the pursuit of our own happiness a priority, we're hurting ourselves, and by extension, our inclination to help others. An unhappy person is less likely to be benevolent, and that leads to further unhappiness. Second meditation, happiness boosters introducing change. Happiness boosters can also help in the difficult process of change. habits often persist, even if we do recognize the need for a new or altered course of action. A hedonistic lifestyle may be destructive, but it can also be addictive, difficult to give up. An easier, more manageable way of bringing about change in the quality of life is through the gradual introduction of happiness boosters. Third meditation, beyond the temporary height. There's no limit to how much happiness we can attain. By pursuing work, education, and relationships that yield both meaning and pleasure, we become progressively happier, experiencing not just an ephemeral height that withers with the leaves, but lasting happiness with deep and stable roots. Fourth meditation, letting our light shine. There are external and internal factors, cultural and psychological biases, which conspire against our being happy. On the most fundamental level, the idea that we have the right to be happy, that individual happiness is a noble and worthy pursuit, is censored and vivified by many ideologies. Many of us have limitations that are self-generated. When we do not feel that we are worthy of happiness, we cannot possibly feel worthy of the good things in our lives, the things that bring us happiness. Because we don't believe we actually deserve them, that they could really be ours, we fear their loss. This fear causes actual behaviors that lead to a self-fulfilling prophecy. Our fear of loss creates actual loss. Our feelings of being unworthy of happiness, in fact, lead to unhappiness. Fifth meditation, imagine. What the time travel thought experiment does is make us aware of life's brevity and preciousness. Granted, a 110-year-old has more experience, and there's no shortcut in terms of gaining much of the wisdom that a full life can give us, but some of what we become aware of it. Sixth meditation, take your time. We are generally too busy, trying to squeeze more and more activities into less and less time. Consequently, we fail to savor, to enjoy, potential sources of the ultimate currency that may be all around us. What can we do then to enjoy our lives more despite the fast-paced rat race environment so many of us live in? The answer to this question contains both bad and good news. The bad news is that, unfortunately, there are no magic bullets. We must simplify our lives. Doing less rather than more does not have to come at the expense of success. Seventh meditation, the happiness revolution. Given that happiness depends more on internal rather than external circumstances, there should be no conflict of interest when it comes to spreading the ultimate currency. We often imagine that when we reach a future destination, we will feel accomplished, calm, and ready for happiness. One of the common barriers to happiness is the false expectation that one thing will bring us eternal bliss. While all these things can contribute to our well-being, at best, they form a small part of the mosaic of a happy life. A happy life is rarely shaped by some extraordinary, life-changing event. Rather, it's shaped incrementally, experience by experience, moment by moment. We are living a happy life when we derive pleasure and meaning while spending time with our loved ones, or learning something new, or engaging in a project at work.